Praise God. I want to begin first and foremost by sharing with you some personal things concerning my life, where we are right now, and where God wants to take us, this body. The teachings that I'm beginning to bring to you are coming at a great cost to my own life. And I'm very serious about that. The teachings that I am bringing to you are teachings that will take you, this body, beyond where we have been, into the purposes of God. We are at a point in the history of the church where God is in another phase of restoration. And so when I bring these teachings together, as I assemble them and search and prepare and pray and study, I am constantly assaulted, constantly, in my mind, with words, with threats, with all kinds of things that harass me and, of course, trouble me, and I have to work my way out of it by declaring truths of God. At the same time, my study becomes filled with heaviness as I feel the presence of evil spirits come into the room and make me so groggy and heavy, I can hardly concentrate. I feel like I'm being drugged. It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft against me to drug me and keep me from preparing these things and lying to me constantly that you will not pay any attention and it doesn't matter. It accuses you constantly to me, constantly. And I reject that because here's what I believe. I believe God called Andre and me from the foundations of this earth. I believe God sent me here to Cheshire, Connecticut. And I believe God called me as an apostle, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I was prophesied that when I was absolutely stunned to hear it, but I came to accept the truth about my life. And while I have done the work of a pastor, which an apostle can do, I am called now at this later stage in my life to begin the ministry that he's ordained for me to bring the church into a new season of restoration, to draw you up to a higher place in the kingdom of God, not just the kingdom of God, but the body of Christ, and for your personal lives and our corporate life to go beyond where it is right now. We must admit we are plateaued as the whole body of Christ is plateaued. It is almost like a bunch of, what are those little animals that run in the circle?
Hamsters.
We have gone up, we're going to break out of that into a new realm of life in Christ. And the enemy does not want to see this advance take place. And I want to tell you something about who you are. You have been called, whether you know it or not, to a special place, to a body of Christ at a time for a purpose. You're not just attending any old church. We happen to be, unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, personally I look at it as a great gift of God that we are called to be forerunners. Everybody understands the principle of a forerunner. Somebody is a spearhead to break the ice or break through. God always uses people for that. He uses the most unbelievable people, unexpected people, ordinary people, and even those who think nothing of themselves, because that gives him the most glory. And you're not aware of that yet, and I don't blame you, nor do I accuse you, because that revelation hasn't come to you yet, but I want it to come to you. Because when a revelation comes, it changes your life. When scriptures are revealed to you that you've been reading over like a speed bump, all of a sudden they come alive to you and you become alive, because a restoration of truth is a personal revival. It gives you life. It gives you hope. It gives you future. It gives you power. It gives you energy. It gives you success. It gives you victory. It gives you overcoming. All those things are necessary. And you say, what, little old me? I just want to live a nice, quiet life, have God bless me, learn some more good things about how I can be a great Christian, enjoy this life, and go home to glory. Sing some sweet songs about the Lord. No, friends, you've been called to a war. We're in a war whether we like it or not. We're in a season of new adjustments. We're in a time, a new season that God is moving. And we can't say, well, I don't think I'll participate. Because if we decide not to participate, God will give somebody else your place. I don't think you want that, do you? Mordecai told Esther that. He said, listen, if you don't understand that you're born for such a time as this and you want to quit, that's okay. Somebody else God will find to fill your shoes. So hear me. God is not fooling around. We're in a new time, and you are going to have new things happen in your life that you've never had before. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
I haven't heard a thing yet. I haven't heard a thing yet. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you willing to let God begin to move on you? These are sovereign times. There are periods in the history of the church that are like lulls, where God has done something and he's letting it ferment and grow. But then we come to a place with him where he comes to a place with us. And he says, now is the time for a new thing. Because this is a season of the restoration of all things. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach you this, and I'm going to teach you it again. And then I'm going to teach it again. And then I'm going to teach it again until all of a sudden there's a spark of revelation that you fly out of your seats. You hear what I'm saying to you? Because you need that. First and foremost, God has given that to me. I almost quit so many times, you have no idea how weary and tired I get when I'm dealing with this subject. I say, God, I could teach him about other things. How about deliverance? How about tongues? How about this? How about that? He said, no, teach him about the restoration of all things. They need a good history lesson to understand the times and the seasons that we are in so they can participate in it. Because if you don't know the time, you will just wander around. You'll listen to this and to that and who knows what and go away. Look, this is summer. It's hard to come together. We all want to take some rest and vacation. And what happens is that we get disassembled. And it's hard. I'm not complaining about it. It is a fact. It happens every year. But I am going to continue on this course every time I get a chance to teach you until we as a body of Christ understand our call. We're not like the guys next door, even though we're part of this. They're part of us. We're part of them. I don't know what they're doing right now. But God is going to spread this. First and foremost, listen to me. We need an example. You are going to be that. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot export a product until you've got a sample to export. You say, here's what's happened. Here's what we're doing. This is working. And I'm going to share it with other people on the internet and in the book that I'm writing and with other churches that will let me in. It's a struggle. You know, there are people who don't want to listen to what I have to say. Yes, because they know it's going to challenge them out of their comfort zones. But that's where we are. That's where I am. That's where God has us. You probably don't understand this completely yet, and that's fine. I love you, and I am here to serve you and help you come to these revelations, to these understandings, so you can give yourself to what God wants to do. That's where we're at. There are a lot of different thoughts right now about end times that are confusing people. I want to tell you how God is working, what his plan is. Because it is an unfailing plan. It has been proven throughout history. He's going to continue it, and we're going to arrive at the place that God wants us to. So, with that, I'd like you to open your Bibles or your phones or whatever to Acts chapter 3. The Apostle Peter, he's explaining things to this magnificent crowd of people who've been gathered. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They've been speaking in tongues. There's a wonder among all the folks. And he's trying to explain things. And he says to them, he's talking about the lame man that he healed at Solomon's porch. And he used the name of Jesus. He said to the man, look at me in the name of Jesus. And the man was healed. Let me look at verse 16 first, okay? And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see. And no, yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet no, Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. That is to crucify Jesus. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. You understand, prophecy must be fulfilled. What God does is he'll speak a prophecy. He'll use somebody to say something he wants that person to say. And when he gets that person to say it, he puts that prophecy out into the world, into time and space. It's there. It's alive. It's powerful. It's present. It's not going to go away. It's going to happen. You follow this? And nothing is going to interfere with it. Satan can't stop it. The Word of God is powerful. And when he puts it out there. It's going to happen. So we have to understand that that's how he does things. You're going to see this in an example of the restoration of all things. I'll give you this morning. Repent, therefore, and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I'll teach on that another time. But we've already had in history some times of refreshing, which come to a lulled church, to a church that's kind of sleepy and dozing and just mumbling along, you know, and stumbling, and God comes and refreshes us. His presence comes, hallelujah. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets. Where is Jesus now? He's in the heavens. He's there with the Father. How long is he going to be there? Are what? Of all things are fulfilled. Okay. Let me give you an example of that, all right? And then I'll tell you about where we are right now. Let's go into the Old Testament, into Numbers. Holy Spirit, I couldn't do anything without you. I love you and I adore you and I honor you and I thank you for the present time right now. Hallelujah. So, Numbers 11, let's start in verse 24. Do you know that Moses was a prophet? How many of you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, good. He wasn't just a guy who got 10 commandments. He was called a prophet by God. So in verse 24, it says, "So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took of the spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again because the spirit wasn't present permanently with them. It was just upon them for that moment, which is true in the Old Testament mainly, that the spirit came upon people to do things and then left them. Whereas it's different in the New Testament with us. But, verse 26, two men had remained in the camp. The name of one of them was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of the choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Hallelujah. Now, that was a prophecy long, long, long before what happened in Acts. Let me take you to the next time a prophet picks up on this. We go to Joel 2 and verse 28. Hallelujah. Joel 2, 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in these days. Now, I've read this scripture to you to show you how God was indiscriminate in pouring out his spirit upon everybody, so that he settled the race issue, the gender issue, and the age issue, and the class issue immediately, as I taught just a week or so ago. So, right. So here you have it. Now the prophet Joel is picking up what Moses had said. Moses said, I would that all of God's people were prophets and that the Spirit of God would be upon all of them. Now Joshua or Joel picks it up again and says, here's what's going to happen. This Moses actually prayed it and prophesied it. Now I'm going to tell you he's going to do it. And then in Acts chapter 1, what happens? He did it. I want you to understand that things that God is going to say at a particular time are going to come to pass at the time that he appoints for them. And we are living in an appointed time where the things that God wants to happen now are going to begin to happen. And they're going to happen here. And they're going to happen everywhere. But they're going to start with you. Now, I'm not saying we're the only place in the world God is starting. I have no idea of that, and I wouldn't be that arrogant. But I'm saying for us, this is what's happening. We are at that point. Hallelujah. Okay, here we are in the year 2021, and the church has gone through some amazing restoration times. I will teach you those times. You need to understand them. If we do not understand our history, we do not understand our collective oneness, what God has taken us all through. The body of Christ is made up not only of us present, but of all those who've gone on before us, the Apostle Paul and all the others who have been part of this magnificent thing called the body of Christ that he's filling. And he's filling it with us. And what they have already done as a foretaste is something that God is going to restore now in us. Now, you're going to hear common or familiar scriptures, but here's the thing about them, and I'm praying this for you, that all of a sudden they become so revelatory, they're like a spark of life. You follow? Okay. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. I want you to understand this too, please. The enemy is a thief, and throughout history he has stolen things from the church. He has stolen from us so that we do not have what God wanted us to have to make progress. But God is wiser, smarter, and more powerful, and is restoring everything that the locust, the cankerworm, and the pummelworm took from us. That's reference to Satan, of course. You understand that. He is a thief, and he'll take whatever. He'll do it through false teaching. He'll do it through lies. He'll do it whatever. And one of the things that he has done is he's tried to rob the church of the precious presence of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? That the church is being robbed of the presence of God through lies, through teachings, through foolishness, through stupidity, through fear, through hatred, through competition, through contention, through greediness, through all the things that people have in their hearts that are not purified yet. And he wants to rob the church of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Satan does. And he wants to give you such incredible fear of the supernatural that you do not participate with him. He wants to frighten you right out of your skin. He wants to make you afraid of supernatural things. You know that, don't you? He wants to give you such fear. Some of you are still afraid to speak in tongues. You give excuses and reasons. But God wants to free you. To free you from the lock that is upon your jaw and upon your tongue. As I speak, I'm giving praise to God. Speaking mysteries to him and building myself up. Praise his holy name. I speak in tongues so much I don't even realize it. I find myself speaking in tongues. Say, oh, geez, I wonder how long I've been doing that. I do it all the time. I don't know what I would do without that kind of prayer. It's not that I ignore prayer in English. I'm praying in English all the time. But the Holy Spirit knows I need more. The fullness of the Spirit will enable you to go beyond the limitations of your natural language. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 12. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of everybody. Put your finger on yourself and say, I'm an each one. God is leaving nobody out. Never does he do that. When he comes like a blanket. He covers us all, includes us all. He's not partial. He's inclusive.
Hallelujah.
Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these, distributed to each one individually as he wills. Verse 14. Verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren? Because Paul had been teaching on the exercise of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation, and prophetic utterances. You have to know this, because there's still bad teaching coming out about tongues, even through some people who are well known. Understand this. There is a difference between the gift of tongues and tongues. Everyone who receives the Holy Spirit, as on the day of Pentecost, speaks in other tongues. That is not a gift, except it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and then fills you, you can, will, and should speak in tongues. The gift of tongues is another expression of the supernatural and is to be uttered along with interpretation. Two different expressions of tongues. One is a gift. The other happens because you have received the Holy Spirit. Okay? How many understand that? Do you get this clear? Please get this clear. Some people say you speak in tongues, it's a gift of the Spirit. Yeah, it's a gift of the Spirit, but not when you receive the Spirit. That's the gift of the Spirit. Tongues happens because you have the Holy Spirit. Millions of Christians speak in tongues but have never uttered tongues to the congregation. Tongues that I speak is directed to God. Tongues that is a gift of the Spirit is directed to you for your edification, not for mine or anybody else that speaks in tongues, to you. And then it must be followed with interpretation. Otherwise, it's a misuse of the gift. Chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. That's a partial suggested list. You follow this? He could go on. Has a healing, has a prophecy, has a word of knowledge, has a discerning of spirits, has a psalm, has a hymn. You follow? Do you hear what I'm saying here? Okay. That's what he's implying. Let all things be done for, what's the purpose? Edifying each other. Not to edify ourselves, but to edify each other. Ephesians chapter 4. These expressions of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11. These expressions of the Holy Spirit are absolutely indispensable to mature the body of Christ. I repeat myself. Absolutely indispensable to mature the body of Christ. We cannot just teach ourselves into maturity. We must have experiences of the Holy Spirit to make us grow, to help us come to that full stature that God intends us to reach. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That has never passed away as some want to teach. And I will prove to you that in the period of restoration, God has restored all five of those gift ministries because they are essential to equip, and I'll deal with that word more intensely in a later time, the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, for you, all of you, to edify one another, you're going to need not only your knowledge in the Word of God, not only your love in God himself, and all the other expressions of kindness and mercy, etc., that you provide, all those encouragements, you're going to also need to exercise the gifts of the Spirit on one another. Because we need that help, and we need that upbuilding. And the body's not going to ever get to the fullness that God wants us to without the full equipping. It's like trying to build a building with only half the equipment at the building site. Are you with me? Do you hear these things? This is why it's necessary. It's not a religious thing to say, well, I speak in tongues or I prophesy. Or those are things that God wants for the blessing of the body. I need them. I need him. I've been going through a horrific pain time with my back and my leg. And I know there's many of you praying, and I thank God for you. And there are others like me who've been going through pain. And we've been trusting the natural systems of the world and God, of course, and we've been praying and believing for personal miracles and healings. But sometimes God doesn't want to work that way. Not that he doesn't want us healed. He doesn't want to work that way. You can't get everything just through a prayer. I'm sorry. You have to have specific prayers that work, that cause others to go to work. Let me hear this. Come on. Do you understand that? Otherwise, we become individual. That's all. We just depend upon ourselves. We need each other. God sends somebody with a gift to heal Winifred Kump. You follow what I'm saying? Not just heal her, but who knows what other things God would impart to her through a person, through us. This is where we're going. Now, years ago, God told me to build, to establish house churches. I can't remember how far back. Bob, what, 30 years? At least 30, 35 years. Now, at one time, this church with membership, let me tell you something. The enemy wants to take this church down. Wants to whittle away, take the members out, give them reasons, whatever they think, to disappear. Angers, disappointments, frustrations, discontent with one another. Who knows that somebody says, well, I wish you would teach that or this or that. I teach what God shows me to teach. Anyway, at one time we lost 300 people at one time. We have gone through horrific pain. Agony with the loss of people. I know my wife doesn't want me to go over this. She thinks it's painful for me and unnecessary. But I want to say this is what the enemy has done. There's no reason for some of the stuff that we've had to endure. Because we did not know how we are one body. That's why I taught that so much, and I'm going to continue to teach it. That our oneness together is essential for how we overcome the work of the enemy. So, like we heard from you, God bless you for letting the Lord speak through you that the Lord's not done with us.
He's working.
So I trust that whether large or small, we will accomplish what the Lord wants. But I want this. Everybody who belongs here, I want to be here. It's essential for their lives and our lives. Yeah, God has restored the fivefold. The fivefold ministry, let me give you an example. When God called me apostolically, I needed to be trained mentored, fathered, literally fathered by seasoned and experienced apostles. And God sent one to me, a great man from England. You remember him, Alan Vincent. And you know what? I wouldn't let the man out of my sight. I clung to him. If we were flying someplace, I sat next to him. If we were eating lunch, I sat next to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wouldn't let him go. I asked him a billion questions. And when he couldn't answer them all, I said, send me the information. Send it to me. I'm not going to give up till I get everything I need from you. And I was like that for years. And I clung to him, so he helped me. But in the early years of the restoration, that was in the 90s, of the apostle, because prior to that in the 80s, God restored the prophet. But in the 90s, when I was called to help churches, all they wanted was, will you come and help me fix this mess that we have? And preach something good and encouraging, but we have problems with this, that, and the other. Can you come and help me fix things? So I was a fixer for years, and I used to say to God, I know we need to do this, but really, isn't there? There's more. I'm reading here. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, that I'm a wise master builder. So far, I'm not building anything. All I'm doing is fixing these things. I want to get on with the building. That's essential. So here's what's happening, and I think we need to pray. God has raised all these gift ministries back up, but they don't yet know how to work together, because we don't all have the same vision. But God will bring us that vision. We don't all have the same vision that all of us are to work together to equip all of you so that all of you are more prosperous, edified, healed, equipped, furnished, delivered, etc., informed so that you can do your work and build the body of Christ. It will not be done without you. That's how important you are. And my job is to help you get there, along with the prophets and pastors and evangelists, teachers, etc. And God is going to restore this. So, I was talking about house churches. God told me to establish house churches. Not because I heard it was a good idea, but because God told me to do it, period. Sometimes that's all it takes. And I said, why? He says, because the people need to come together in smaller groups for fellowship. That's all he told me. So we established house churches, and we had 40, 45. We had a ton of them. We even had house churches for teens, and they were very, very good. But because they didn't get all the vision that I was still getting, I couldn't relay it to them. They entered into different things and got confused and this, that, and the other, and we had some trouble with leaders of house churches, etc. What you don't know can hurt you. And but here's the point. We establish the containers in which we can now begin to effectively do what God wants us to do. The house churches are going to play a more significant role in the future. Praise God. Okay. I got tons of stuff here. I think I've given you enough for this morning. Yeah, maybe I can share this. Yeah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm going to finish up this morning with this. Listen to me, you lovely people, you saints of God, you warriors of the Most High. You victors, you're the people, according to Romans 16:20, whom God will soon crush Satan under your feet. You're going to rule more than you have ever. Don't worry about what the world's doing right now. Don't worry about those things. Don't try to fix them all. Right now, concentrate on letting God build you up. Okay? You can't do anything till you have the strength of the Lord and the presence of the Holy Ghost and God telling you to do it. Okay. So the reason I'm taking you here is because we all have fears. I remember the first time that God told me to speak in tongues. 42, 45 years ago, to a congregation. I was speaking in tongues myself for my own edification, but the Lord said to me on a Sunday night in this meeting, he said, speak to the people in tongues. I'd never done that before. And I had all these thoughts. I had fears. How am I going to do that? Is it the same tongue I speak, another tongue? What's going to go? He said, just obey me. Just speak in tongues to these people. I have a word for them. I said, I don't know if there's anybody here to interpret. He said, that's not your problem. Right now, I want you to speak in tongues to these people. And I was standing up. And I was so challenged. First of all, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit rising in me. And at the same time, this ridiculous fear that was present. And I was so challenged. I was rattling the chair in front of me like that. People were turning around, what's wrong with that guy? I'm serious. That's what I was going through. I had to have a breakthrough. This was the first time. There's a first time for everything. And I finally calmed down. I said, speak to these people in tongues. So I did, finally. And I waited and waited and waited for an interpretation. And nobody. I said, oh, what a fool I am. Why did I do that? I must have missed God. I didn't hear him. I just thought that, oh, how could I be so stupid? Oh, I'm so ashamed. I'm sorry, Lord. He said, I'll give you the interpretation if you ask me. So I did. I asked him because I didn't know what it was. I said, what was it? And then he told me, and I shared it. The reason I'm saying this is because we're all alike. We're all the same. We're all struggling with things. And Jeremiah was struggling. And here's what the Lord said to him. Verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then Jeremiah said, Lord God, behold, I can't speak. I'm a little guy. I'm a youth yet. But the Lord said to me, do not say you're a youth. Don't give me excuses. Can you hear this? Don't give me excuses. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. Period. New paragraph. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set this day you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to plant, to throw down, and to build and to plant. All right, here's where we are with Jeremiah. Number one. He said, before you were born, I knew you. You now are the Jeremiah that God is talking to, every one of you. So God is saying to you, before you were born, I knew you. I knew exactly what your personality was going to be like. I knew exactly all the things you were going to mess up on and all the good things you were going to do. I knew the faults, the failures, the things that you feared. I knew everything about you. I knew you. I knew you. Nothing escapes me. I knew you before you even came out of your mommy's womb. So, if I tell you that I am calling you to be a prophet, that's what I knew you to be. Translate that to you. God knew you. God knows everything about you. All your fears. Because that's what we have. That's why the excuses come. I can't do this. I'm too young. I'm too little. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. I don't have the experience. Whatever. We do this to God. Let somebody else do it. Give me another gift sometime later. No, now. No, now. God is going to call you in now seasons in your life. That's why I gave you my example of myself rattling a chair in fear. Because there's going to come a time when he's going to call you like that. And you will have your most magnificent breakthrough. And I want that for you. Because God wants it for you. And I'm praying for you that that's going to happen. That as you get filled with the Spirit, the Lord says to you in Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, making melody in your heart. There's ways that you constantly become filled. You must constantly be filled with the Spirit. And let God be God with you. He knows your fears. And he says to you, I am with you. I'll put my words in your mouth. You don't have to worry what to say. It's going to come out. It'll come out as a word of knowledge, a discerning of spirits, whatever. Because all the gifts come through the mouth, one way or another. They speak out. I'm going to lay my hands on you and heal you now, bursitis. That's a gift of healing coming through speaking out. They're all spoken out. Do you understand? God will give you the word to say. Praise his holy name. Then he says, don't be afraid of their faces, because we have two issues. The first is internal with your own struggles. And then the second is external with people. Oh, my God, what are they going to think of me? I wonder if I could do this. Some of these guys and gals are more, you know, they're more advanced than me. How could I possibly? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm afraid I'm going to make a mistake. All of us are. All of us are. But we have breakthroughs with God. He said, I'll put my words in your mouth. They'll come out. Don't you worry. Don't be afraid of their countenance, what their face resembles to you, what it suggests to you, their power, their energy, their criticism, their experiences. All that comes out against you when you look at my face and say, oh, I don't know if I could be like him. No, you're not going to be like me. You're going to be like you. I'm taken. All right? Don't look at our faces. Don't look at faces. Close your eyes if you have to. So it's just you and God. But we frighten each other. We're afraid of each other. We shouldn't be. That's what halts you, and Satan helps bring that thought to you. So we're going to pray this morning now with all this. We've covered a lot of territory. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And then calling us, and oh my, look at us, like Jeremiah. We're such little people. But it's good to be little people, because God can raise up little people easier than he can raise up big people. Big people think they're already there. So thank you, Lord, for calling us little people, young and inexperienced and growing but trusting, for the experiences we're going to begin to have with you, that we're going to move with you into the restoration of all things. To the restoration of body life, body ministry, body ministry. That we will no longer look to the big names, to the fivefold ministry to do it all, but we will look to one another to see you work in us. That is the way of the present and the future. That church life is going to change, and how we come together slowly after edifications, after teachings, we're going to begin to practice. We're going to let you, God, be God. We're going to enter into a new season with you. We're going to see signs and wonders and things we've never thought possible, because we're opening up our hearts to you. Thank you, God. We don't all have a revelation of this yet. It's just beginning to dawn on some of us. It's okay. You will bring revelation to us. Like the Apostle Paul prayed, God, give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We need God's knowledge. The spirit of wisdom and revelation must come upon us, so that those things that we thought we knew will all of a sudden become life, like they've never existed before in this new precious manner, life and fullness to us. We ask for this, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Now, as we leave here today, we'll be surrounded with our other activities, other people, other thoughts. Please come to us, bring remembrances to us, reveal, repeat, restore, until we come to a place where our meditations become settled and we begin to know these things, so that we can be what you want us to be. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, saints.
Can you join me and pray for Pastor? I also want to pray for us too. Like the parable of the seed, seeds have been planted continuously.
Thank you.
And Pastor even mentioned it today, but the evil one comes in to rob, steal, and destroy. And I want those seeds to take deep root in all of us. So, Kingdom of Darkness, this prayer is targeted against you. Satan, I am speaking to you and all of your minions and demons, and anyone that associates themselves with the Kingdom of Darkness. We belong to the Kingdom of Light. We outrank you. positionally, we are above you. Our badge says, Jesus, we outrank you. You have no new plans. They have been exposed. And so in the name of Jesus, we hold up the shield of faith. And we fight back in spiritual warfare against your attacks. They will not prosper because they cannot prosper. And so we say, go to hell. Go to hell. Leave our minds alone. Leave this body alone. And leave Apostle Greg alone. In Jesus' name. And seeds that have been planted years ago that have been dormant, take root and pop up. New seeds that have been planted, grow and take root. In Jesus' name. One thing I learned recently, have you heard of these 13-year and 17-year cicadas? That's what I just got in my head. I hit a bunch of them on the way to Virginia last week, so apparently these things live in the ground for 13 or 17 years, and then they pop up, and they swarm, and they do their thing. But no one knows they're around, and they don't get attacked because they're dormant, but they're alive. And so all the seeds that have been planted are going to pop, and we're all going to swarm together in a unified body. Like they just come up, and they swarm together. That's going to be us. Things that have been dormant for years will pop. And it will be coordinated. And it will overtake the world. In Jesus' name.
Right now, I decree and declare the mind of Christ over you, brother. I decree and declare that as you are at your study and as the Lord is giving you revelation, that as Jesus is in the desert for 40 days and for 40 nights, you will say, it is written, get thee behind me. No more attack in the name of Jesus. I speak to your body, healing and wholeness. That sciatic nerve right now in the name of Jesus, you become limber and loosen him. I speak to his spine, straighten it and come forth. All back pains and back issues in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare healing. Father, you said it was granted in my life, so I'm just speaking by the authority of Jesus Christ right now. You're going to say it is written, and you're going to go on and write. And no more swaying between. When he gives it to you, it's done. And you may not understand it.
That's right. Amen. Thank you.
That kind of almost goes along with what the Lord was telling me. Last week, you know, the Lord spoke to me about honoring God. He says, we must honor both of you as a mother and father over this church. Because God is going to hold us accountable for any person that he may put in government, or he may put in our lives as authority over us, as Pastor and Andrea. If we don't take that serious, he holds us accountable. And if we want to stand before him and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servants, he says, why didn't you listen to the voices that I gave you to teach you? So, fathers, we honor you. We just want to take this time to honor both Pastor Greg and Andrea, Lord, for the lives that they've laid down for us in this body, that they've sacrificed. And so often, Lord, it's almost like a familiarity that comes into us. We become too familiar with you, Lord, and we become too familiar with the servants that you place over us. So, Father, we just want to honor them, bless them, keep them, Lord. Let your hand rest upon them. Let them sit in the palm of your hands, Lord, that they can rest and just be assured that you've got their back, that you've got them, Lord. We thank you for everything that they've given to us, Father. Everything that they've given to us, Father. Even today, Lord, what was shared, you expect us to start stepping out. And as Pastor asked, you know, I don't hear anything. The Lord was saying to me, bring it on. is that we need to start walking in what he's calling us to do. So, Father, just bless them, Lord. Bless both of them. Let your spirit just flow upon them and fill them.